during that cycle,
yeah,
you know, makes them more attractive to, which that's just incredibly fascinating that that's all going on when you're talking to somebody, and you have no conscious idea that process is. It's not just about and it's not just all about a person's looks or their chemical makeup. There's personal characteristics that play a role in it as well. You know, and we're not just talking about like superficial stuff like perceived attractiveness.
Right.
There's also more intangible traits like kindness or generosity that can make a person more attractive to someone else. But then you look at another person, and you know, aggression and I don't want to say selfishness, maybe assertiveness, maybe just a takes no prisoners kind of attitude, that can be attractive as well to a totally different person. Yeah. And that's the thing about human courtship that is also different from the animal kingdom, is that all of our interactions are totally unique to us as individuals, and there's no rule you can say that governs all of human courtship. It's totally each situation between two humans is totally.
Yeah, because like you also have to like take into consideration like cultural factors and like the person's upbringing and all of these things, which aren't usually big impacts on other animals in nature.
You do occasionally see some parallels in the terms of like when you look at a person's status or the job that they do. What you might be doing is just basically judging how much money they make and how well they provide for themselves and potentially how well they could provide for you.
Yeah,
that's something that that a fair number of animals do. There are spiders in particular will initiate courtship by bringing kind of like a gift wrapped meal to a potential mate. It's just like a bug that's webbed up in a sack.
Mm-hmm.
And just delivers them, and the female will gauge whether the male is worth her time. Just so the whole, you know, looking at someone's occupation and what they do, I think that would be kind of an extension of that, for human being.
Yeah, it definitely speaks to like a need for security, like for certain like women will seek men who are financially stable and like. Generally like have themselves like pretty well put together and yeah, like with the thing about the spiders is also that idea of like giving gifts is also part of like that that like courting ritual or like yeah that part of like courting culture of like giving gifts to people is also something that's found outside of just human nature.
Yeah, that's true. I think even you see that actually across most of the ape kingdom, the ape species, gift giving and, you know, sort of helping each other out are good signs of whether two animals are going to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you could, and you mentioned stability, and I think that there is no one rule that would govern all of human courtship, but I think one that would govern many courtship rituals and potential matches is the idea of stability and of forging a long-term relationship with someone, or at the very least, you know, constructive relationship that both parties can benefit from. I know that's not true for everybody, but it's definitely something I think the majority will look for. And then you get into the whole process of dating itself.
Oh yes.
And this is a huge, huge minefield to walk through.
Yeah, dating is like a huge part of just like what makes up our culture and like what we value in general is like a very big part of like our society. Like fashion is you could consider it as a huge part of like that mating ritual, like what you wear or like what you value with somebody, like what somebody wears could be something that you value very highly, and it could actually be like a big point in like choosing somebody that you want to be with.
Mm-hmm. And clothing in particular has actually changed a great deal over time. It used to be that, and I'm just speaking in general terms, that the rule of thumb was more formal wear, and more elaborate clothing was a sign of status and an attractive, socially attractive thing in most European countries. But now I think it's gotten that, you know, on average, more, particularly in the nightclub scene, like more suggestive clothing or more tight fitting clothing is generally perceived to be the more. And there's a whole field of new questions now about how relationships are viewed and discussions about sex and whether and how, you know, the whole idea of toxic masculinity. I think we've been hearing a lot about that in the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's like that's become a pretty big thing with just men in general, but in like especially in dating. Personally, I think that like men tend to have very like toxic views of like sex, like of sex and relationships in general. Like I think one example of this is just like the way that we view, for example, like women who have had like a large amount of like sexual partners in the past tend to be looked down upon compared to men who have had more sexual partners in their past. They can be more celebrated for than women are, and I think that's a pretty like toxic thing, I would say, in our view of society.
Yeah, it's a double standard to be sure, and it is starting to be to be challenged now. Now I think definitely more than it has been in the last 40 years. Like I think the last 5 years, it's really reached, the discussion on that has really reached a critical mass.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's also interesting though, because the whole idea of having of women having multiple partners, that wasn't always considered a shameful thing in society. If you look at a place like the French court in the 1800s, that was pretty much the norm for both men and women, multiple partners. So we're seeing these norms change over as well, and they might swing more liberal one decade and then swing back.
Yeah, you oftentimes tend to notice this like pendulum swing of like liberal ideas switching between that and conservatism. I think that's like one of the big things as well with like what you were saying about like provocative clothing. Like the public consciousness is changing to a more like liberal ideology, I think. So like there's,
yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, there's more of this like self-expression and the idea of like sexual liberation amongst women as well.
Yeah, and when taken in the context of dating, that adds like a whole new layer of signals that that people need to take into account when they're looking for a prospective partner.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, don't even get me started on something like social media. That affects relationships.
Everything. It affects everything.
Yeah, it's a reality shaping force.
Yeah,
you can never predict how it's going to affect people, but it is also the avenue through which a lot of the courtship rituals happen. Like I remember my second girlfriend and I, we spent a lot of time just talking over social media before we started seeing each other seriously. And that was sort of like one of the, you could look at it in the sense of almost like a mating ground. Like if some animals have like very specific places they go to initiate courtship rituals.
Right.
Social media is like becoming one of the mating grounds for people now. It's just, except the signals you got to deal with are totally different from anything you deal with person.
Yeah, like I was also like maintaining like a relatively like long distance relationship as well, just like through the internet and like on Discord and stuff like this. Like that's not something that you would really be able to do like 20 years ago at all. So like just the like that is like a really interesting thing that we're able to do now.
That what's fascinating to me about that is well, I read some historical fiction from time to time, and my brother's a historian, well, an aspiring historian. He goes to school for history, but something he told me is that long distance relationships were actually pretty common back in the age of sail. Like, people would be separated by a whole world, and the only way they could hear from each other was by snail mail, basically. So it would be quite normal to have long distance relationships back in the day, and now we're starting to see a resurgence of that, made easier by the internet and by instant messaging and by the jetliner, which is really cool. So stuff like
It's also like interesting because like that also applies to things like Tinder. On Tinder, you can go on and like put yourself to be viewed globally, so not just in your local area. So like, if somebody sees you in France and they like you, you can match with them and have a conversation with them and even like start a relationship with them if you're interested in that.
it's like the potential mating ground has expanded to encompass the whole world for all the people with internet access. So you connect with somebody on the opposite side of the planet, and suddenly, oh, she's my mate now, or something like that. distance isn't enough, but it has become an issue with COVID-19. I remember during the first lockdown, the first thing I thought was, oh, I know a lot of people who don't live with their significant other, or who are interested in dating someone who lives in a completely different part of the city, and they're not going to be able to meet in person anymore because of the lockdown.
So they would have to start using Zoom and start,
I think we all got used to using Zoom in the past year for everything.
But like now also like all of these relationships are like a lot of these relationships are being taken online and like people just like it seems like it would have seemed normal to me because it was something that I was doing a lot like in my previous relationship, but like for a lot of people it's like a very new dynamic to their relationship to like sit in a call and just like talk to this person and spend time with them because like you really don't you might not have an alternative.
It's causing people to take each encounter or each date with that other person more seriously, and to measure their time more, and to really think about what they want in a partner. There was a great article by the BBC which talked about how during that first lockdown, at least in the UK, and I'm pretty sure it was similar for Canadians, people a lot people were stuck at home with their own thoughts mostly for a long stretch of time, and it led them to think about not just who they were, but also what they were looking for in a relationship. And when they finally did start dating, they were much more selective about their partner, as opposed to, back in the day, they might have just said, oh, well, there's plenty more fish in the sea. If one date doesn't work out, you can just go on another. It's not that easy anymore. And even when you get to meet in person, you still have to observe all of these precautions. So there's that added layer of ritual surrounding COVID-19, in addition to the courtship rituals. Like, suddenly you got to worry about putting a mask on and gloves in the hazmat suit, as a di in addition to the candlelit dinner.
Yeah, you also have to be a little bit more creative because you don't have access to go to a restaurant or something like that. So you have to kind of like work around it and find solutions to these things. So like it also changes. So like the thing that like people are cooking more now and stuff like that is also like adding to that dynamic.
Yeah, they're finding new ways to spend time with their significant other if they're locked up with them in lockdown. And it's really going to be the time when most couples either break or make the relationship work. That's another thing the article. So I think that's a good segue to getting into our pet peeves of dating. Do you want to talk about any pet peeves that you have, Gowdy,
I went through the list
about
and
dating?
like I just wanted to talk like just the first one made me laugh a lot. Just having to date in general is like a pet peeve. Is that one of yours or like your friends?
Yeah, that's my friend. That's my friend Jen's pet peeve. I would say it's kind of mine too, because I am one of those people who gets pretty nervous about dating. Like, try to put my best foot forward, but afterwards I overthinking. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I should have been more clever about my response. So, yeah, I totally get that answer.
Yeah, no, I feel that too, 'cause like if you're on something like Tinder or something like this and you match with somebody, like you have to go through the entire process of like getting to know them and like asking them, "Okay, what do you do? What do you do for fun?" Like it you have to like do this every time, and then like you find yourself you're maybe not that interested in them, and then you have to like start all over again.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is definitely a lot of work, and I think that ties into what we were talking about a minute ago about how people are being more selective about their time,
Yes.
careful. This was one that I think a lot of people can relate to. People who say they're sig single but actually aren't.
Damn.
And Jen added the caveat, especially when that person's partner claims to know all about their quote extracurricular activities unquote.
Well, that's just like outright lying.
Yeah, like straight up deception.
Damn.
Yeah, when the other person shows up way better dressed than you are, that's one of mine, and it's not even something I'd be upset with the other person for. It's like, oh man, I should have upped the game so much.
Yeah, there's also one that says people who want to leave their coffee shop 5 minutes after they met someone just to have sex in their car. This like actually brings
Yeah.
up like an important like a point that, or like a thing that I've noticed is like not well like not to generalize, but like oftentimes women tend to go more for sexual partners that they would consider going into a relationship with. Whereas men would not really care as much about that, and just they would look at a woman and say, "Yeah, I would like I would have sex with them, but like I would still just maintain a friendship with them." It's more of like a mixture for women who are choosing their mates. It's not necessarily the same for men.
Yeah, that is something that I have noticed, is that with the majority of women in my life, they definitely look at quality, the deeper intangible qualities, and not just the superficial traits, whereas a lot of guys would just look at the superficial traits on a go much deeper. Let's see. When the other person tells you you don't look anything like your profile pic, but the same can be said of them.
Wow.
That's high school. Yeah, that one was Jen's, but I love it. It's just too funny.
There are a lot of stories of like catfishing and stuff. Like, do you know what catfishing is?
Oh, is that where you like one person posts like a really attractive picture, but it isn't them on
Yeah.
their profile?
Yeah. Or sometimes it won't even be the same gender or something like that, and or
Oh my God.
for example, I have a friend who he used to be very androgynous when he was younger. He used to look very androgynous, so he used to just catfish people without trying. So he would just people would just think that he was a girl, and when he would try to explain to them that he wasn't a girl, they still thought that he was a girl and was just lying.
Oh no. Oh man. Accidental captain. That's got to be rough. Oh.
Oh yeah, it says another one is like when they don't stop talking about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that one I think is more like I understand where that one's coming from, but I'm just naturally a good listener, so I actually kind of prefer it when the other person talks about themselves. That one
Yeah.
was more Jen. It's still a good one though that I think a lot of people can relate to. When your date won't stop talking about their exes.
Damn.
That's a good warning sign.
Find it fun to talk to people about their exes sometimes, though. Like, you can find out some pretty interesting things about them through those conversations.
Oh yeah, when you both agree to discuss it and
Yeah, but
you can
in.
have a good laugh about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's like they haven't gotten over them, it's a different story.
This brings up also a point of just how natural things like jealousy are in people in relationships and stuff like that. I've seen just by observing that regularly through monogamous relationships and stuff like that, people can be very protective of their partners and can get very jealous of them. But it's also true for things like polyamorous relationships and stuff like that. So it shows that it's like a very natural thing, which is really interesting.
Yeah, the thing about jealousy about jealousy in humans is it isn't really that unexpected when you think about the animal kingdom. Like you see competition for mates and even envy for another for between mates among mammals certainly among, I think among avian creatures too, like penguins in particular. They'll switch mates really fast if they feel like they're not getting what they want out of the relationship. It's really funny. But yeah, jealousy in humans is particularly where it comes to relationships. I think sadly more common than people would like. Like I've heard a
Yeah.
lot of horror stories about that.
I think we
About
don't
broken
have
up
too
relationships.
many frameworks for dealing with things like jealousy. In people who are married and stuff like that, they might have to deal, and there's a lot of ways of dealing with things like irritability and stuff like that amongst married couples and stuff and that sort of thing. Amongst children, it's things like, or and like teenagers, it's like moodiness, and there's ways of dealing with that, but you don't really know t we don't know too much about coping with things like jealousy, or at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I think it's something that definitely should be looked at in the future. Let's see, what other pet peeves we got here? When your date drinks twice as much, twice as fast as you, and still wants to split the bill evenly.
This brings up the question, do you think that men should pay for the first date? Not necessarily if they're
I was
drinking excessively, but just in general, just a general question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I was kind of brought up with the idea of, the chivalrous gentleman thing. So yeah, it's something I definitely do. It's just it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
A nice gesture. Yeah. So I'm not saying they should, particularly if it's a student and they're on a budget. So always watch your wallet. Yeah, if you can, it's a nice thing to do. Let's see.
When your date flirts with everyone in the bar except you.
Oh, that's a nice quote. Oh my God. When your date says they forgot their when they forgot their when your date says they forgot their wallet to make you pay for the whole dinner, when you even when you saw them take out their wallet 10 minutes early.
What if both people end up saying that they forgot their wallet?
Oh,
How do you figure this
then
out?
I'd say they're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
That yeah, there's a character there's a great character on the Scottish sitcom Still Game called Tam, and he's a notoriously tight-fisted guy. Like, he will not part with a single pound if he can
Oh.
help it. And it turns out the love of his life is a woman who is as tight-fisted as he is.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. When your date drinks so much they get sick and ask you to drive them home, and I would add the caveat, they also live really far away.
Oh no. Oh my God.
Oh no. When you double date and your date leaves with the other
Jesus
person.
Christ.
These are
Wow.
not pet peeves, these are horror stories.
Your friend has certainly seen, been through some experiences.
Yeah, I would say these are about like half her and half mine, but
Yeah.
that's definitely one of hers. Yeah. When you go to the movies and discover the other person likes to talk all the way through, that's one of mine.
Oh, you don't like it when people talk through movies?
I mean, if it's like everybody's over for a few drinks and you're like watching like a late night movie or something like
Yeah.
that, it's totally fine. But if you're at the theater, man, just shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, the famous one, when you leave the restaurant at the end of the date and you see your date meet someone else 10 seconds later.
Wow.
Gaudi, did you take I forget which class this was, but it was social. It had to do with social media, and one of the case studies they used was the whole Twitter thing where this guy tried to date like six women in one night, all like 30 minutes apart from each other.
What? No.
Yeah, so it was like he, in his mind, he was rationalizing it like he was trying to be efficient with his time. But like the second woman found out what was happening and started telling each of the women he dated after that what was going on, and they turned the tables on him by exposing the whole thing on Twitter.
Wow. Oh my God. Wait, so he was like
Yeah.
physically meeting up with all of these women like in like separate times?
Yeah, so he was in a bar and he'd arranged to meet these women like on a bunch of 30-minute dates,
Oh.
like all set up in a row. So like one woman would leave, he'd stick around a while and wait for the next one to show up.
Okay.
Yeah. So when one of them finally found out, they unleashed like this whole Twitter stream about the ways they were getting this guy back, and it kind of took Twitter by storm.
Wow. Damn, yeah,
Yeah.
that's just like, oh man, you're just kind of like asking for trouble if you're doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
Oh yeah, it's just how you can't find out if somebody's going to be a suitable partner for you in 30 minutes. Come on. Don't do this to yourself and to all of them, please.
Speed dating, man. Have you ever like walked past a bar
Yeah.
and like seen people doing speed dating? That's it's like such a weird thing to see. I've only ever like seen it in movies too, so like I've never really. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah, I've never seen the speed dating in person. I'm told most of the time it just ends up being like finding out if someone is going to with you in like 5 minutes or
Probably, yeah.
not. But because, with that level of speed, there's not really any room for depth.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it, but it would be kind of interesting to watch.
Very interesting. What are we at for time?
Yeah.
40 minutes, actually, not bad.
So I think that we've pretty much covered everything that we plan to cover for tonight. So I think that's going to be Pale Blue Dot episode one of this season,
Yeah.
signing off. And I don't know what topic we're going to have for you next week,
Yeah, so
but once Peter's back,
it'll be interesting.
we're going to work it out. Yeah. So here's hoping Peter gets well soon, and we can be back next week with another great episode. I'm James Dick.
I'm Gary Per Parson, and this has been the Pale
And
Blue
we are
Dot.
signing off.
Peace.